Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman. I'm glad you're with me on this wonderful day as we look at the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Don't forget to check out apradio.org. It is the mothership that brings this program and so many others to our local airways and across the web, apradio.org. They are actually going to be doing a fundraiser, so if you or have the ability or would consider it or just wanted to learn more, the radio station could definitely be, it would be a blessing to have you come on board as a partner. With that, let's move on. And if you can't be a partner, that's okay. I'm going to be here every Sunday. We're going to be talking about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, my name is Pastor Matthew Broman. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Akutan, Alaska, in the Aleutian Lower Chain. And hey, I'm so glad you're with me. We're going to be talking today about how to have freedom. And Jesus in John 8 is dealing with some individuals who believe they're free. And they don't want what the freedom Jesus offers, the hope he offers. And we're going to look at how Jesus, his thinking behind that, and it applies to them he was talking to, and it applies to all of us. With that, let me open in prayer. And let's start off with a great song. How Great is Our God. It's by Chris Tomlin. A few years ago, I think over 10 years ago, he did a world version where he took his song, How Great is Our God, and at the concert he had, I think, 6 to 8 different languages. I believe you will really be blessed and enjoy it as you hear different ones. I wish you could watch the video. If you want to see it, it's How Great is Our God World or Global Edition, and it has the different songs and the different languages and where they're from. With that, let me pray and let's listen to right away How Great is Our God, because he is great, right? Yeah, he is great. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for this wonderful time. I pray you bless this radio station. Help us today to learn about the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you. The freedom is open to everyone. And I just thank you and praise you. Anybody who doesn't know you, they don't understand. Praise the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Sujudlah padanya, naš Bog.
The word amen means so be it. That's why we say in Jesus' name, amen. May that prayer be so be it. Let it happen. This is a song that uses amen, amen in its melody. And I hope that you will think about the words to this wonderful song. Amen, amen.
Oh, how beautiful it is to see you moving. Oh, how beautiful it is to see you move. You've poured out your spirit on every heart. You've sent forth your word, and it's come to pass. What our fathers and mothers could only foretaste is now in our lifetime. The order of day, eyes are unfailing, hearts are aligning, dead bones are rising, His Spirit is moving. Eyes are unveiling, hearts are aligning, dead dreams are rising, His Spirit is moving. He's breaking addictions, yes. Amen, amen, and breaking religion, yes. Amen, amen, His Spirit is moving.
Amen, amen,
His Spirit is freedom.
Tradition,
yes.
Amen, amen.
And breaking addictions, yes.
Amen.
And breaking religion, yes.
Amen.
His spirit is freedom.
Amen.
His spirit is moving.
Amen.
So yes and amen.
Amen.
Yes and amen. Your spirit on every heart. You've sent forth your word, and it's come to pass. What our fathers and mothers could only foretaste is now in our lifetime the order of day. Just receive,
amen, amen.
Just receive,
amen, amen.
You can just receive,
amen, amen.
You can just receive,
amen, amen.
Just receive,
amen, amen.
Just receive,
amen, amen.
You can just receive,
amen, amen.
You can just receive.
Amen, amen.
You are rebuilding the ruined walls. You are reclaiming your design. You descend as fire to purify. You are reclaiming your works. You prune as the thistles and the thorns fall away, so we may produce good fruit. For the harvest is here.
The Lord has said it, and He has done it. He has said it, God. Throwing noodles at the wall, wondering if any of them will stick at all. And I feel a little lost. Thought I heard your voice, but then so soft, and I can feel an knowing rising in my heart. As I'm still, you're showing me you are still God. And I see a cloud. I know you're working it out for my good. I see. Of my eyes again, and I see a cloud. I want a faith that turns your head. Where there's chaos, I want to walk with peace instead. Cause I know you're in the boat. And if you call me out, I know that I'm gonna float. Reminds me of Elijah praying for the rain. People thought he's crazy, but soon they'd understand when he said, I see a cloud. I know you're working it out for my good. I see. I see. promise miracles when in faith I see a cloud. I know he is working it out for your good. I see it now. He does his best miracles when it shouldn't make any sense. So I'll lift up my eyes again, and I see.
Watch Wes Huff destroy this very popular atheist argument in less than 60 seconds. Check it out.
There are 3,000 gods if you add them all up from all the religions. You know, who's to say your one's the real one? And what about the others then? Do they not exist? Are they not real gods? In other words, his position is, look, you can't all be right unless there are 3,000 different versions of a supernatural spiritual being overseeing us all. What do you say to him?
Yeah, well, I think it's a rather foolish argument in that competition doesn't negate objective reality. So say we're using a courtroom analogy. If someone was convicted of a crime here in the city of Toronto where I live, and he stood before a judge and he said, really, you think I committed this crime? Do you know how many people are in the city? We have 3 million people in this city. And you think I'm the one who did the crime?
Healing and truth.
going to be reading John chapter 8, verse number 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall make me free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto him, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus saith unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither can I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why are you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have a devil. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never die." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou art devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom thou makest thou myself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Thank you.
before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all.
Look at this for a minute. He says, if you're my disciple, meaning you're continuing in the words, you're following me, you're going to know the truth. The truth's going to set you free. Jesus wants everyone to have freedom. He doesn't want everybody to have religion. He didn't come to make you religious. He came to set you free. Because your greatest problem is not your religion. Your greatest problem the Bible says is sin. My greatest problem is sin. The people answer to Jesus, no doubt, most likely the religious leaders, we are Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How say thou, ye shall make me free? He said, first of all, we don't need this freedom, Jesus, because of our racial lineage. Abraham, we're descendants of Abraham. That's who we are. He was the one, the chosen. We're the chosen people. They have confidence in their racial lineage. I think I said religion. But that ties in with that, their confidence in their religion. Our religion's right. We don't need this. And then finally, we're like, we're just not in bondage. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Now, on the face value, that's not true. Because these people were under the Roman occupation. But for the practicalness of the argument, they tell Jesus, no, we're not in bondage. So what Jesus is going to do, he's going to establish they do need this freedom. Look at what he says. Jesus answered them, verse 34 of chapter 8. Verily, very, verily, it means like pay attention to this point. I say unto you, you, the ones who are sitting here saying, I've got a good racial lineage, a good religion, and it's just not possible. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now he's going to explain what sin is, but he says, here's the bottom line. If you sin, you serve sin. If you sin, you serve sin. Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, the original Adam and Eve, the first two people on this earth, their children, ended up, Cain killed Abel. And God tells him, he's like, if you don't get all sin, it's going to control you. If you sin, you're a servant to sin. See, Jesus, you don't need to be free. In a sense, they're right. They understood to be free, you have to be in bondage. And their argument is we don't see ourselves as in bondage. Now, Jesus' argument is yes. He continues. We're in verse number 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. In fact, you're not even, if you're a slave for sin, you're not going, there's no carrying on. It's temporary. You're broken. But Jesus, he's like, I abide forever. He calls himself the Son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This isn't a freedom because he abides forever. This isn't a freedom that is going to end. This is a freedom that will go on and on. You're really going to be free. He tells them, I know that you're Abraham's seed. I know you're descendants of Abraham. But wait a minute, you seek to kill me. Now he's getting into defining for them that they're sinful. He said, yeah, you got the right lineage. You're Abraham's seed, but you're trying to kill me. Because my word has no place in you. Boom. They don't have God's word in them. They don't have the words of Jesus. They don't have the words of life. Earlier he said, my words are spirit and life, that meaning they're powerful in chapter 6. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which you've seen with your father. Abraham is our, so he says, I speak what my father, what God says, and you do that which you have with your father. So he hasn't told them yet who their father is, but I'm telling you, it's getting ready to be pretty intense. Now they have to pipe back. Abraham is our father. He's like, well, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you were children, Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham did righteous things. He lived by faith. He was part of the promise covenant God gave them. He says, if you were part of him, you'd do what he did. But yeah, you're going to kill me just because I told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. He's basically saying Abraham followed God. Abraham did what God wanted. He's saying, y'all are not like Abraham. You may be his descendants, but you're not at all, because he did what God wanted. And then they just go to name calling. They're like, we'll just throw something out there. Because he says, you do the deeds of your father. He still hasn't told him who his father is, but like I said, get ready. He's going to tell him who their father is. Then said they to him. Now remember, Jesus was born of a virgin. Here's what they tell him. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. In other words, they're implying you're the one who is born of fornication or illicit relationships. So they're trying to claim the father's card. And Jesus throws right back at him. If God were your father, if that's who I said your father, you would love me. For I proceedeth forth and come from God, neither can I of myself, but he sent me. He's saying, if you really did, you would receive me because I come from God. So that tells us freedom comes from God because it's in Jesus. Jesus represents freedom. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. So now he says, how can you not understand? You're not receiving my word. Oh boy, now he's going to tell him. Here's why. He said his father, he called them, they have a father. I'm going to tell you who it is. He said, you got, the devil's your father. And the lust of your father will you do. You do what the desire he has. Well, what's the lust? To push down God's truth. Remember the very first temptation of all time was, did God really say? Satan said that to Eve. And Jesus is saying, you do that same kind of stuff because you don't want God's word. You don't want God's truth. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father. He said he's father of lies. He's a murderer. And Jesus is saying the fruit falls from that same tree because they're that person like Satan. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe not. He's like, you're not willing to believe. I'm telling you the truth. The reality. Yo, I'm breaking it down to you. What's right. Okay, so let's continue. Tells them they're of their father, the devil. Did you know there's a real devil? Bible says there's a God, there's a devil. He's fallen. He's a fallen being. One of the most beautiful was in creation, but he desired to be like God. Now he's the father of lies. He's the murderer. He's the enemy of us all. He's the deceiver. And Jesus is saying, you're of that person. He says, because I tell you the truth, you believe not. There's the sin. They are in sin because they're rejecting the truth of God. Now he's going to bring it back because they had just implied he's born of fornication. Now he's going to spin it back around. He says, which of you convinced me of sin? Hey, which one says I am of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe not? Why do ye not believe me? He said, if I'm speaking the truth, why do you not believe? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Bottom line, you're not of God because you will not believe. You don't accept the truth. How do we get free? Well, we've got to come to grips with the truth. We've got to embrace the truth. We have to come to Jesus on his terms. Then we continue. Verse 48 of chapter 8 of John. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil? That always works. Just throw back insults to you. Hey, you're a Samaritan. You're a half-breed. You're a devil. Well, Jesus is going to show you how beautifully a debater he is, but more important, he's going to give him the truth because he goes on. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonoreth me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. He says, I am not of the devil because he's already said they're of the devil, but I seek God. I'm not there to promote myself. I'm there promoting God because I'm God. He says there's a judge, which they're guilty. verse number 51. Verily, verily, saying to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So now he transitions away from basically indicting them for their sin. He brings them back to the truth that they're sin, but now he's going to present the hope of those that believe in him. Because he says, if a man keep my saying, if they keep what I said, you believe in me, you see who I am, you accept that I come from God, I am of God, I'm speaking truth. He said, you're not going to see death. Then the Jews said, well, I can see you got a devil. Abraham's dead. And the prophets, thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste it. He says, come on, you're crazy. You're a devil. Well, then he goes on. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. A couple points there. He says, if I honor myself, if I just say, hey, it's me. Now, earlier in the chapter, he had said, we didn't mention it today, there's two witnesses that establish who he is. One God, one him. And he's saying, if I just stand here and say this stuff, but guess what? God, the one you say is your God, he backs me. He glorifies me, honors me. You have not known him, but I know him. He's like, you don't know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Let me tell you something, guys. If I were to say I didn't know him and didn't speak, he'd be a liar, because I do know him, and I know the truth. He finishes up this powerful one. Now sit back. If you've ever talked to somebody that absolutely says, well, Jesus never claimed he was God, get ready. He's going to show you, and he's going to claim he is God. He says, your father, Abraham. So now it circles all back around to the original thing. You are of Abraham. He says, he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What's he talking about? Well, Abraham saw the day of the Messiah. Abraham saw the day of faith by what God was going to do. That's what he's talking about. They say, you're yet 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham? Now it gets to the powerful point. Because Jesus claims the name of God. I am Yahweh. The one that they clearly wouldn't even say out loud for the name of God. And notice how I'll tell you how I know that. Because here's what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the personal name of God. And then 59, their response shows that they clearly understand, because he's blasphemed. He's taken the personal name of God. He says, then took they up stones to cast at him. Their response was to kill him because he'd claim the name of God for himself. Let's circle all back around. They're in bondage to sin, the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. He offers complete freedom and deliverance from sin, but it requires embracing his truth, his reality as your reality, his words as your words, believing in him, and he will change your life.
Thank you. the praise. Amen, church. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
He's worthy of it all, meaning he deserves all the praise, all the honor. The way we can show that is by believing and accepting his truth that he is the one. He is the one that died for us and rose from the dead. He is the one that I will commit to being a disciple and follow how he says it is, who he says he is. Or are we going to be like the religious people where we stand back and like, I don't need this. I'm good. I know who I am. I know my religion. It's not even possible that I have this need. One basically is accusing Jesus of being a liar. The other one is the one that says, no, it's true. I want what you're offering, Jesus. I'd like to pray with you right now. And if you're that person that's listening and you know you resonate with what Jesus said in his debate with these Pharisees or religious leaders, I want to ask you to pray with me right now. Tell God, say, God, I believe it. I know it. I embrace it. You are the way, the truth, the life. I want to follow you. Pray that in Jesus' name. If you prayed with me and it's the intention of your heart to follow him, I'd love to get a Bible study to you. You can email me if you'd like that. It's free at MATHEW, V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N at gmail.com. MATHEWVROMAN at gmail.com. May God richly bless you as you follow Christ. Come on back next week. I'll be here again with the Hour of Hope. It's been awesome to be with you. Let's remember to seek God daily, follow Christ, and we will experience what he promises. He will set you free, and you will be free indeed. God bless you. Have a great week. This is Pastor Matthew wishing you that you and I will have great days of hope. And we will if we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye.